across Wisconsin from Civic Media. This is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlow.
Well, hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. It is 6:06 on this Tuesday morning, July 23rd, 2024. It's another beautiful day to have you here up north. Live from Lake Wissota, from wherever you're listening across the Civic Media Radio Network or on the apps or through the socials or on the pods. Nice to have you along. I got a question for you. I know that there's still, 106 days to go. And I know the group of which I speak. Can we please be done with whiny white men? Honestly, guys, get off our side. Several examples to tell you about this morning, basically because the elephants are having a collective freakout. They were not expecting President Joe Biden to do something selfless. They were not expecting somebody to put country ahead of party and ahead of self. And he did the thing that they never thought that he could do, because it's the kind of thing a guy like Donald Trump would never do. And now they are having to rip up all the old plans, make up new plans, and the noises they're making in the process are not making them sound good at all. We'll review that and much more along the way today. Housekeeping. You know how to reach us, 855-75-CIVIC, 855-75-CIVIC. Always appreciate getting your texts and the occasional phone calls and your messages online. If you're watching on Facebook or YouTube, you can put a message there as well. And again, we always appreciate all of your input, not just on air, but off air as well. Christina Laurie will be along a little bit from now. She has some of the uplifting stories from our newsletter. A few more with a sports theme, including one about remodeling being done at the Kohl Center, which is going to be fine in the end, except for a few people whose seating and season tickets have been disrupted. They are none too happy about it. In our second hour, we're going to be talking to Angela Lang from BLOC, Black Leaders Organizing Communities, about the big changes in the presidential race and how it's got all kinds of folks fired up and ready to go who were otherwise perhaps maybe a little lackluster up until recent days. Also, a Wisconsin CEO, David Irwin, will join us from the group Wisconsin Business Leaders for Democracy. Again, talking about how election security and election integrity and democracy are not partisan issues. There should be no such thing as a Republican who is against democracy or against, secure elections. There should be no Republican for election interference or voter obstruction. These are not partisan issues, unless you're trying to cheat, of course. But this particular group is here to remind Wisconsin voters that we already have elections that are safe and secure, educate you about the safeguards, get you excited to vote. And then some of us make the case afterwards that, you know, if after all of that, people are still trying to undermine votes, steal elections, things like that, maybe, just maybe, they are not worth your support. So a lot of ground to cover today, as well as the forecast from Brittany Merlot. We'll see if she is still camping out there at the EAA in Oshkosh. And Chad Holmes will be along from Bull Falls Radio to preview his show, which follows this one, up in the Wausau area and through the Civic Media app. But for the moment, Greg Bach is also here with us. He is in beautiful Waukesha, and he is got a T-shirt for the Milwaukee Comedy Festival, it appears.
I do. Okay. Do you ever have one of those days, Pat, where you put the shirt on, you're like, there we go, and you leave the house, and you're like, this was a mistake.
Did you grab the schmedium by mistake over there?
It went through the wash and the dry cycle, and now it's just like... Mm-hmm.
So the dryer is your problem on your clothes?
Yeah.
For me, I think it's the refrigerator is the problem. Okay. Wrong appliance. Maybe if I use the refrigerator a little less, the clothes would fit better. But I'm working on it.
Oh, that's a good point.
Yeah. We were able to break a little news at Up North News yesterday, a little fun news about the Minocqua Brewing Company. Ooh. And all of their progressive-themed beers. And I thought of the beer that Kirk Bangstad and friends brewed for Minocqua Brewing Company back in 2021 when Kamala Harris first became vice president. And he called the beer, comma, just the comma, the punctuation symbol,
yeah,
a comma, followed by la. L-A, as in comma, la. Because he had his fill, like a lot of us, of people intentionally mispronouncing the vice president's name, going Kamala, Kamala, Kamala. It's Kamala. You've had plenty of time to get it right. Yes, sir.
Point of order, just and I know how this makes me sound. I only have two references to those letters making that name in my life. I don't know a Kamala or a Kamala in my life personally.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I have Kamala Harris, who is the Vice President of the United States of America, and Kamala Khan, who is on Miss Marvel and the movie The Marvels. So sometimes I do switch them up, and I don't worry. I feel really bad when I do, because I know that's not correct. But
that's the thing, is you know, and so therefore when you do it, it's an accident.
Yes.
You're not doing it intentionally the way that people like to sneer the Democrat Party when it's the Democratic Party. But of course, they're not making a mistake.
Yeah.
They're doing it on purpose because they think it's funny. It's hilarious to call it the Democrat Party. Look, I called her Kamala. I called her Kamala. It's not when it's not an accident.
Yeah.
You know, well, then you're a jerk. And so anyway, whether it's to fix intentional mistakes or accidental ones, Minocqua Brewing Company came out with a beer with a comma on it. Kamala. So we thought, well, given recent news, you know, will they be brewing up a new batch of it? And, you know, what's going to happen next with, you know, Kamala beer? Well, as it turned out, through a happy accident, I guess, we were the first to find out and break the news that there was an entirely new beer dedicated to Kamala Harris that would be coming out, and it was announced yesterday by the Minocqua Brewing Company. And I'm just pulling up the story that we posted last evening at Up North News, because what here was the deal, and it's one of those happy accidents, I guess. They were in fact making a new espresso stout for Dark Brandon, the character that we like to foist upon President Biden. But what with the changing of the guard, shall we say, it was decided to take that beer and add some elements of their former Kamala beer, which was Kamala Stout, and then pass the torch. And so, yeah, there will be this new beer branded Hope, and it is called a Strong Presidential Espresso Stout. And so that will, orders are being taken. It won't be available until mid-September. But we thought that was pretty cool that, again, we need some lighter news, given how heavy the politics have been lately, that it's nice to see that, of course, in Wisconsin, some company would think to put out a new line of beer for Kamala Harris.
That's how we do. So, well, I said to you before we went on the air, all the things happening in the past weeks, months, decades, millennia.
Yep.
Yesterday, I felt this real great sense of hope. Just all the information coming out, all the excitement, the energy. It felt really, really good. And I hope our listeners felt that too. And it felt, when we were on Matt and Aaron Air, people were calling and texting and they were so excited. So it's just really good. Just even to have one day, just one day where you're like, whoo. Mm-hmm. Yes. But now the work starts.
Well, yes, without a doubt. And that was something that Kamala Harris did yesterday, visiting the campaign headquarters in Wilmington, Delaware, talking to folks out there, but also making a lot of phone calls, making people know that, you know, she was ready to take the reins. And boy, did people respond. Somewhere between, it's not all counted yet, but some at least 81 million, but perhaps north of $100 million. Came in. Now, for comparison's sake, the big blockbuster movie Twisters came out over the weekend. Nationwide, it raised $80 million. It made $80 million. Kamala Harris probably made $100 million yesterday. And basically broke the system in terms of people that wanted to participate in Zoom chats. Mm. Thousands upon thousands of campaign volunteers signed
That's
up.
Amazing.
All kinds of people signed for email. It was there was a dam that broke, basically,
yeah.
of people saying, okay, we are ready. You know, it was like, okay, Joe, thank you for your service. You did great. You really did. We love you. We got it from here.
Yeah.
And people have just taken and run with it. And I'm very excited to talk to Angela Lang in about an hour all about that.
Yeah. And the other thing, too, is I wasn't sure. I mentioned it yesterday on the Matt and Aaron Air, and I said $60 million. And someone texted right away and said, that's also to let you know, that's small donor donation. That's not like some big company putting down a check for $5 million or something like that. It was small dollars donations making that money. And that's how excited people are.
Yep. Matt from Germantown texts in that says Fox News is showing a poll with Trump leading Kamala Harris. Again, I haven't seen it, and I'd want to see a lot more than a snapshot poll. I just know that she was, in many ways, polling better than President Biden was in matchups against Trump. And so we'll look at the swing states where this is all going to be decided. So there's Matt saying it kind of wrecked the happiness today. I would say, Matt, be patient.
Yeah.
Again. 105 days to go.
Yeah.
A lot's going to happen between now and then. The Brewers are going to win some and lose some. They lost some yesterday. Mm. Well, they lost one yesterday against the Cubs at Wrigley, which was weird because after a Sunday full of home runs against the Twins, the Brewers' bats were quiet to open up the series against the Cubs at Wrigley Field last night. A combo of six Chicago pitchers cobbled together a five-hitter as the Cubs beat Milwaukee 3-1. Twice the Brewers had the bases loaded and twice failed to score. The Brewers' only run coming on a solo shot from Willy Adames and his team-leading 16th home run of the season. It's another 7:05 start at Wrigley Field. You can hear the pregame starting at 6:30 on News from the Center, WRCE in Richland Center, WRJN in Racine, Oshkosh Air Support, and 98Q Country, WCQM in Park Falls. And I regret to inform you that Jordan Love is not practicing with the Packers right now. We have a contract issue. So Jordan Love was in street clothes as he ran out alongside Coach Matt LaFleur for the first training camp workout. Love will not be practicing as long as negotiations on a contract extension for the quarterback remain unresolved, according to General Manager Brian Gutekunst. On behalf of a very weary public who's about to be bombarded with political ads for the rest of our swing state existence, please get this done, guys.
Yeah.
Please get this done.
One less thing to worry about.
Yes. I don't have the time. I don't have the bandwidth. I don't have the room. Hey, wherever you're listening across Wisconsin on this beautiful Tuesday morning, when you're here, you're up north.
They tried to make me go to rehab. I said no, no, no. Yes, I've been black, but when I come back, no, no, no. I ain't got the time, and if my daddy thinks I'm fine.
This is the voice of the late Amy Winehouse, who died of alcohol poisoning in London on this day in 2011 at the age of 27. By coincidence, this is National Women Touched by Addiction Day to honor and commemorate the resilience of women grappling with all kinds of addiction and the importance of the role they play in society. Now, backers want to put in place programs to help improve the situation for thousands of women across the U.S. and around the world suffering from some sort of addiction or another. If you are suffering or know somebody that is, there is never a bad time to ask for help. Don't be too proud. It is 6:21 now here on Up North News Radio, and we were not looking to start necessarily a parade of whiny white guys, but this is what we got. Looking at everybody talking since Kamala Harris became the presumptive Democratic nominee, I think that Republicans and certainly folks in the media, they were hoping for a feeding frenzy. And I will admit that for a while, I felt like everybody was holding their breath. Were you first going to see like Pete Buttigieg say, I'm going to run for president, and maybe Elizabeth Warren, I'm going to run for president, and J.B. Pritzker and all these other people, and suddenly there'd be this feeding frenzy. But nobody did that. They said, This is Joe Biden's vice president. She's ready for the job. Let's rally around the person who's next. That's not an anointment. That's not a coronation. That's the person who was slotted to do the job if Joe Biden couldn't. She's ready. And the party said, okay, here we go. And there's been quite the freak out from the GOP side ever since. Let's see. Let's start with J.D. Vance, who thought that he would be debating Kamala Harris, which would have been just delicious to watch. But, of course, he likes to play the role, you know, talk tough. He talks about, you know, Kamala Harris. He loves to pick on women who have decided not to have children or cannot have children and has made comments about them not being, you know, as worthy to society. I believe he used the term cat lady to describe Kamala Harris at one point. But in remarks yesterday in his home state of Ohio, in his first solo rally as the vice presidential nominee, here's what he had to say about Kamala Harris and American history. And again, listen to the cluelessness that accompanies whining white guys in politics.
See her give a speech. And she talks about the history of this country, not with appreciation, but with condemnation. And look, of course, every country, just like every family, certainly mine, has its pockmarks, right? Not everything's perfect. It's never going to be. But you, if you want to lead this country, you should feel grateful for it. You should feel a sense of gratitude. And I never hear that gratitude come through when I listen to Kamala Harris.
You know what else you should do? You should smile more, Kamala Harris, you know, gratitude. You should be grateful for what you've got. As she reminds people, these are not pockmarks. American history past is prologue. There are still the remnants of institutional racism, of a history that was formed by slavery, of debts that are still owed to generations of Americans who were not allowed to inherit or build up any sense of wealth. These are real and valid debates to have. And to simply say, you should be more grateful for what you've got. And by the way, also nailed her for just collecting a government check while he was serving in the Marines. I'm sorry, Greg, what do you get when you serve in the Marines?
A government check, like the
one he's collecting for Congress, and the one he would collect if he were vice president of the United States. But one was an effective prosecutor, attorney general, U.S. senator, and you were a guy that said Trump was Hitler.
Yeah.
Until you had a chance to, you know, kiss the ring. All right, that's enough of prior to J.D. Vance speaking at this rally in Ohio, here's what an Ohio state senator had to say about the situation.
Fight! 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 I believe wholeheartedly Donald Trump and Butler County's J.D. Vance are the last chance to save our country politically. I'm afraid if we lose this one, it's going to take a civil war to save the country, and it will be saved.
It'll take a civil war to save the country, is what he had to say. He later backtracked on that and said that's not exactly what he was trying to say. Yeah, it was. It was exactly where he was going. And sometimes when you let people talk long enough, they show you who they really are. Some people show you who they are, and then years later, they say, oh, no, that's not who I really am. Up North News was the first to tell you about remarks that Eric Hovde had made ripping on farmers years earlier, saying they don't work as hard as farmers used to. And it took until yesterday that he was running some social media posts saying, I'm so sick of these Democrats taking me out of context. And all the responses were, dude, these were your words. Here's the ad the Tammy Baldwin campaign put together as a result of it.
They don't clock out at 5 or care if it's the weekend. That means we keep working too.
So when Eric Hovde says that farmers don't work hard, that pisses me off.
Think of farming. Look at the old physical toil that it would take on your body. Now you're largely driving around a tractor.
A California banker criticizing Wisconsin farmers for not working hard? We know what that is.
Eric Hovde, what the hell's wrong with this guy?
I'm Tammy Baldwin, and I
It's something we've asked so many times already. What the hell is wrong with this guy?
California, that's the most Wisconsin couple on earth. There's none more Wisconsin. Beautiful, beautiful.
God bless them. And I have the sad duty to tell you that Derek Van Orden is doing Derek Van Orden things again. He sent a letter to Vice President Kamala Harris saying that she should invoke the 25th Amendment because clearly President Biden is not of sound mind and body. Does anybody remember when this guy pretended 2 years ago to be just a kindly grandpa next door, pretended to be a moderate? And this guy has been nothing but far-right gutter politics ever since. And yeah, has the audacity to send a letter saying you should invoke the 25th Amendment. Joe Biden, the past 2 years, while Republicans have controlled the House of Representatives, has been so much more effective than the Republicans running the House of Representatives. If any group is not of sound mind and body and should be removed from office, it would be the Republican majority in the House of Representatives.
I don't know. Let's see. Joe Biden, where were you on January 6th? Not at the Capitol that day of doing the thing? Derek, where were you? All right, cool.
Yeah, at the Capitol. Yep, cool. Case closed. President Trump, of course, is going to try to hit Kamala Harris on the border, which is rich, considering he's the one that pulled the plug on a bipartisan border plan. And Kamala Harris is not going to have trouble going up against Donald Trump. Listen to the crowd ooh and ah in this quick soundbite as she ticks off all the ways she'll be going up against Donald Trump.
California. Before that, I was a courtroom prosecutor. In those roles, I took on perpetrators of all kinds. Predators who abused women. Fraudsters who ripped off consumers. Cheaters who broke the rules for their own gain. So hear me when I say, I know Donald Trump's type.
I love the, she's going to use that a lot, going, I wonder who she might be talking about.
She went from comedy to church. That was amazing.
It was so good. Christina Lorre's next. You're up north. .634 now on Up North News Radio. A reminder, Game 2 of the Brewers-Cubs series is tonight, 7:05. 6:35 pregame on WRCE in Richland Center, WRJN in Racine, Kenosha. Oshkosh Air Support, WISS, and 98Q Country in Park Falls. Remember, tomorrow is an afternoon game. 1:20, first pitch there. Brewers baseball is where we start our conversation with Christina Lorre, who puts together some very nice, uplifting stories for our newsletter. Sign up at upnorthnewswi.com. Christina, hello. How are you?
I'm great. It's pretty easy to be uplifting about the Brewers nowadays.
It's been a good year. I say the same thing about them, though, that I do with the presidential campaign, is that you can't get too invested because of, you know, a winning streak, a losing streak, you know, good fortunes, bad fortunes, and elections. I just watch so many people, they put all their eggs in a basket, whether it's sports, politics, or other things as well. And it's just like, moderation is key, folks. Moderation. Just enjoy the moment.
You know? I totally get that. But also, this is coming from a lifelong White Sox fan. It's yes. Just nice to have a team who is not statistically already out of it.
Yeah. Yeah. There's definitely,
you know, it's different watching a game knowing that this season is totally scrapped. You know, whether or not, at least the Brewers are just giving us excitement. And what I love about this team, I've said it before, they remind me a lot about the World Series championship 2005 White Sox. Even when they're down, you just always know there's a chance that they could come back because they've done it before.
So our topic today to start with is best Brewers who actually weren't really Brewers, but they maybe should have been. And you would have seen this in last week's newsletter if you were a subscriber. So we thought we'd tell you all about that story. These are folks who are what, either draft picks or trade pickups or things like that?
Yes. People that the Brewers front office picked up, but then swung and missed with. R.A. Dickey is one that comes to mind. Before he became a Cy Young Award winner for the Mets, he signed with the Brewers. But the Brewers, they just kept him in AAA Nashville for the entire 2006 season, even though he had a 3.72 ERA. It was better than many of the pitchers that were in the majors that year. So he left the team as a free agent, and after short stints with the Mariners and Twins, found his way to the Mets and then became one of baseball's best.
When the Mets had a really good team for a little while there, at least, or at least had a really good pitcher. And that happens, you know, you either put a lot of time into a player, but then it just doesn't pan out, or you don't even give them a chance. So you got one or two other examples you want to share?
Yeah, well, just fresh off of last week's draft, we have a lot of exciting draft picks. Actually, for the first time in a decade, the Brewers have picked up someone directly from a Wisconsin high school. I was talking to the kid's mom. He's only 18 years old. He's planning on still possibly going to college, but they've been lifelong Brewers fans. How cool is that to be picked up from your favorite team? Mm-hmm. And that was the case just pertaining to like excitement around a draft pick that happened back in 2005. If the name Michael Brantley rings a bell with anyone, unfortunately his promising career with the Brewers was over before it ever began. He had a breakout 2008 season in AA Huntsville. But then he became the player to be named later in the deal that brought CC Sabathia from Cleveland to Milwaukee. And I mean, while CC's run with the Brewers was a super cool moment that's going to go down in Milwaukee history, Brantley became a star. I mean, he only retired last season. He had a majorly successful run with both the Indians and with the Astros. He became a five-time All-Star and the 2014 Silver Slugger winner.
Indians, later the Guardians. And this is such a classic example of, you know, risk reward or short term, long term. The CC Sabathia thing, you're right. It was downright magical. It gave Brewers so much hope after, you know, years of wondering if the club was going to turn the corner. But, you know, you got to spend money to make money, and that included sending Michael Brantley away. And so you can talk about what might have been, but you know, you make these things, you make these trades, and you try to make the best of them when they happen. And sometimes they become fodder for features many years down the road.
Yes. And sometimes you're surprised. I mean, I know a lot of people were really upset that they gave away Burns, you know, especially fresh off. He started the All-Star game for the AL now. Mm-hmm. But we wouldn't have Joey Ortiz without that. And Joey Ortiz has had quite a season.
We're still tracking through, the Corbin Burns trade, the Josh Hader trade. And again, in the moment, sometimes it's not the player that you get. Sometimes it's the player for the player that you get. It might be, you know, two steps down up the ladder before you find out that you actually got value for that trade. And again, that's part of what makes baseball fun, you know, off the field as well as on. Let's turn to a little sports news over at the Kohl Center in Madison, where the Badgers play. They play hockey and basketball there. And there's a development at the Kohl Center around hockey, but it is also going to impact basketball. What's going to be happening, or is it already happening at the Kohl Center?
Yes, construction just started this week. I'm actually really interested to get your opinion on this, Pat, because I've seen conversation going both ways. So this is kind of like the last piece of the Kohl Center renovations that have been going on for the past few years. So far, they've already added new locker rooms, strength and conditioning spaces, a dining hall, offices, and a hockey shooting room. But now they are adding what they're calling premium seating, and it will be installed in time for this upcoming both basketball and hockey season. So to make room for it, they're going to reduce the Kohl Center's ice sheet. And what's interesting about this, I didn't know, is that the Kohl Center had one of the biggest ice sheets. It was actually bigger than what's used in the NHL. So they're just going to reduce it to the dimensions of pretty much every other ice rink in the NCAA and NHL, which is 200 by 92 feet, in case anyone ever wants to know that trivia. So doing so is going to create an extra 6 feet of space on either side of the rink/court, depending on what sport you're there for. And they're going to add you know, a few rows of premium seating there. Obviously, the seating is going to go for more money, but it's also going to be wider padded seats. It's going to give you access to a new premium club, all-inclusive food and drinks, a full-service cash bar, as well as priority parking. Now, the debate here is that people are saying, oh, great, more seating for the rich. However, how I'm choosing to see it is that this is only an addition. It's not taking away from the fan experience for anyone else. Hopefully, people will have the opportunity. Maybe you have some friends who will invite you to these games and you'll be able to take advantage of this. And it's also a way for Wisconsin. I sound like I'm a spokesperson for the university. I swear I'm not. However, I'd like to see them make more money and be able to invest it back into the school, into the students, into the athletic programs. I think they're running things seemingly wonderfully at Wisconsin. And, you know, what's the downside of giving them a little bit more money?
Well, it's funny that you bring up the money that way, because when, you know, there was first kind of a, you know, a brouhaha about this. Justin Doherty, the senior associate athletic director, had this to say to the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. He said, I would answer it this way. We are in a rapidly changing environment in college athletics. We intend to compete in this environment. In other words, yeah, we're chasing after money, but the fan experience will not be helped for a certain subset of those fans, unfortunately, because what they're doing, according to the Journal Sentinel article on this, is they are removing 378 single seats to put in 188 premium seats. And it means that a lot of folks who were sitting close are now going to get bumped. And I don't know that part of it has been resolved yet. So again, much like with the baseball story, we're talking about trade-offs. You need the revenue, you want to give the full experience, but you know, somebody always loses out in these things, whether it's a player who's traded to a bad team or these fans who, for all I know, might still be uncertain where they're seating, where they're going to be seated when the next season starts.
Yeah, and the only I'm choosing to look at it from the positive side. However, the one flag that just makes me a little nervous is that so much, especially with an expanded Big Ten, I mean, there's just like so much there with home court advantage. And I still believe that students should be closest to the court. I think that makes it the most exciting for games. They're the most rambunctious. They're going to be the ones that are yelling at other teams, distracting during free throws, you know, getting angry, you know, maybe revving up the refs a little bit on behalf of the players and coaches. And you lose that when it's all the rich folks lining the court. But
yeah. Yep. Yeah. Again,
make everyone happy.
You can't. So. You need to expand the conference, which means it's now a coast-to-coast conference, but that means all kinds of travel. Yeah. Look, in a simpler time, the Badgers had hockey players like Joe Pavelski. And that takes us to our final story, who's finally stepping down, retiring after 18 seasons in the NHL. The pride of Plover, Mr. Pavelski, had quite a run.
He did. And what's crazy about him, so I was looking into his history, because I was only 9 years old when he first got drafted to the NHL. So he was actually drafted in 2003, before he ever starred in Madison for the Badgers, mm-hmm. which is crazy. So he was drafted as a kid, and he went on to having this 18 season long, 1,332 game career. He's pretty much destined to be in the NHL Hall of Fame.
Oh yeah.
At this point. And it just some stats that popped out to me. So during his freshman year at Wisconsin, which was 2004 to 2005, he led all NCAA rookies in points with 16 goals and 29 assists. Now, I would love to see stats on this, really pretty much for any sport, of people who win Rookie of the Year and then go on to consistently top that the rest of their seasons. Mm-hmm. 'Cause it seems like there's lots of like flashes in the pan. And then, you know, where are they by senior year? Well, Pavelski only lasted 2 more years in Wisconsin, because then he eventually went pro, but he followed that up with an NCAA championship and led the team in both assists and points, which is incredible.
And it just reminded me that, you know, Badger hockey going to the NHL, having a legendary career, stories aren't limited to Pavelski. It wasn't that long ago we were talking about Chris Chelios getting his number retired by your sainted Blackhawks out there.
Yes. And it's not nowadays, it's not just men. There's the new PWHL, the Professional yes. Women's Hockey League. Mm-hmm. And Wisconsin, I mean, the best players all across the league are Badgers. The reigning goaltender of the year. I just talked to her recently because she hosts a summer camp in Canada where she's from. She's like the reigning goalie of the year. And, you know, she just plays for a PWHL team that I had never previously heard of. Wisconsin is really connected anywhere. But just to put the tie a bow finally on this Pavelski story, he finishes his career with 476 NHL goals, 592 assists, more than 1,000 points in 1,300 regular season games. The only thing missing from his resume, and he was so close, is a Stanley Cup. One year after he signed with the Dallas Stars, he played most of his career in San Jose, but he signed with the Stars in 2019, and then he reached the Stanley Cup Finals at age 36. And, you know, it's crazy to be at 36 years old. He was pretty much the star of that final. He finished second among all players with 13 goals, but he fell just short of reaching that. But that is not a damper. Few people have Stanley Cups his career. I think people would trade one Stanley Cup for having a solid 18-year professional career.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's the Dan Marino thing. You can have this legendary season or legendary career, rather. And look, if the big one eludes you, it's tough. But you still, you can't take away all the other things that were done. So good on him for that. Now, for uplifting stories like these and some that aren't related to sports as well, we've really been on a food break for a while. We may have to actually, the Wisconsin State Fair isn't that far away, is it?
It is not, and we're actually not on a break. Maybe we'll talk about this next week. This could be a little teaser. The Wisconsin State Fair recently released their list of new foods. They also released their list of Sporkies and Drinkies finalists. There are some really gross things on there. I would love to do a Would Pat Eat This segment.
The Sporkies are around the corner, kids, so buckle up. Prepare for that. Christina Laurie, read her newsletter at upnorthnewswi.com. Sign up there by clicking newsletter in the top banner. Thank you, Christina.
Have a great day, everyone.
We will have today's history lesson coming up in just a moment. This is Up North News Radio from Lake Wissota on the Civic. Some sad news to kick off today's history lesson back at just about 6:51 on Up North News Radio. Abdul Duke Fekera, the last remaining original member of the Four Tops, one of Motown's best-selling and most beloved groups, passed away on Monday at his home in Detroit. He was 88 years old. Mr. Fekera sang first tenor with the Four Tops. They were put into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in 1990. Of course, included I Can't Help Myself, Reach Out, I'll Be There, It's the Same Old Song, Standing in the Shadows of Love, Bernadette, and of course this one here. So many of their tunes were written and produced by the celebrated songwriting and production team Holland Dozier Holland. And again, Duke Fekera, the last remaining original member of the Four Tops, has passed away at the age of 88. Also in today's history lesson, the Ford Motor Company sold its very first car on this day in 1903. We mentioned earlier Amy Winehouse died of alcohol poisoning this day in 2011 at the age of 27. If we go way, way back, you know, people watch White Christmas and you see Rosemary Clooney. And like, okay, you see her from White Christmas. Was she that big a star? Well, yeah. Here was the number one song this day in 1951 from Rosemary Clooney.
Come on to my house, in my house, I'm gonna give you candy. Come on to my house.
On this day in 2014, former Alaska Governor Sarah Palin got a speeding ticket in her hometown of Wasilla. She blamed her excessive speed, going 63 in a 45 mile an hour zone, on Sammy Hagar's I Can't Drive 55, which was playing on her radio. when Sammy Hagar got word, he tweeted Palin offering to cover the ticket. Tell me again, who are the makers and who are the takers in Sarah Palin's world? I guess
She's the maker. We're all the takers, the moochers. Yeah.
We're the moochers.
Moochers. Right.
Okay. One of my favorite singing voices belongs to Alison Krauss. She was born in Decatur, Illinois, 53 years ago today. So many bluegrass hits, but also some country songs, a couple of pop remakes like that one from the Foundations. Alison Krauss, 53 today. Martin Gore, the co-founder of Depeche Mode, is 63 today. Guns N' Roses guitarist Slash is 59 years old today. Wait till you hear about this next birthday. If you follow or know anything about 70s music, you of course know a couple of the big hits from the band Orleans, like this one. So, still the one of their hits. Orleans frontman John Hall turns 76 years old today. Happy birthday to him. What I didn't realize was what happened after the 70s, after the music career was done. He started out as this local community activist. He then served in local government in New York State. He was a member of Congress from 2006 to 2010. I don't know how I missed that one. He could have done so much to just bring Yacht Rock to Congress and make it much more of a music festival.
Oh,
you know?
Could you imagine Yacht Rock National Anthem? Oh,
perfect. It would be perfect. Also in the 70s, there was this Barry Manilow guy. He had the number one song this day in 1977. I don't use the word very often, but does the word schlock, does that work for this one? Just really over the top? Okay, there.
Just walking around the stage holding a microphone?
Yep. Now, again, we like to just do musical whiplash. Let's move up to 1983. And the last album from The Police, Synchronicity, was the number one album. I'm not going to play the title track or some of the other main hits. I'm going to play a little bit of a track called Synchronicity 2 because it's always nice to show off now and then that even somebody mild-mannered like me has the occasional song that when it comes on, 11 isn't enough. I'll turn that volume knob to 42. Here's a little bit of Synchronicity 2. If you don't hear Sting doing enough of a primal scream, put this one on. The lyrics begin, another suburban family morning, grandmother screaming at the wall. We have to shout above the din of our Rice Krispies. We can't hear anything at all. Just the perfect song about a guy who goes to work every day, goes through the same old grind, and then just finally wants to snap, with a special appearance by the Loch Ness Monster. You don't get that in every song, but you do by The Police. This day in 1996, 18-year-old Fiona Apple released her debut album Tidal, featuring Shadowboxer and this hit, Criminal.
I don't know if you've ever seen the video for this song.
I am not.
Oh.
This day in 2018, the National Transportation Safety Board warned against the trend of jumping out of moving cars and dancing to Drake's In My Feelings. I know I saw that a couple of times and I just, again, the grandpa in me was just like, no. So I didn't look any further to see, you know, just how many people have been run over by their own cars trying to make a viral video, but I'm glad to know that we have the National Transportation Safety Board on this day in 2018 to say to us, don't do that. Please don't do that. On this day in 1962, there was a historic worldwide broadcast, first of its kind, as the new Telstar satellite relayed the first live transatlantic TV program. It was a joint affair between the three network anchors, including Walter Cronkite. There were anchors in Europe, correspondents in several cities, Paris, London, Venice, Berlin. It was the first time humans could simultaneously look live at several worldwide sites, including American views like the Golden Gate Bridge, Buffalo's on the Prairie, Niagara Falls, the Rio Grande, and a Cubs baseball game, all seen for the first time by satellite. Today is National Vanilla Ice Cream Day. It's National Peanut Butter and Chocolate Day. It's National Sprinkles Day. So happy Sprinkle Day, Sprinkle Farts. It's National Yada 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 Day. And it's Lasagna Awareness Month, Day 23. The lasagna is starting to smell bad. I was aware of it when it first came out of the oven. Smelling good, looking all ooey gooey. But on day 23, I'm having my doubts that I can maintain this awareness for 8 more days. Much more in our second hour on Up North News Radio on the Civic Media Radio Network.